south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Okay, we're back again, and I think my voice just might hold out today. Still in the final but rough grips of laryngitis, I've tried all the usual radio and rock and roll singer tricks. So though it might sound painful to you, it's not, believe me. Anyway, down here, just having gotten over the biggest Latin party season of all, that would be Easter week, called Semana Santa down here, I happen to have attended a number of the festivities myself, mostly because you just can't avoid them. The problem is, the various little festivities block off whole streets down here for hours and hours at a time, so if for that Semana Santa week you don't plan well, you could easily get stuck in a 2 or 3 hour traffic jam. Or if you're unlucky and you park your car, when you come back from shopping or whatever, you'll actually see people double parked in the street with no one in them. They just lock their cars up and leave. In other words, the street no longer is passable at all. People will just leave their car there and walk to the ceremony, wherever that is, usually a parade or some kind of fair. And yes, there will be traffic cops everywhere, but no one will ever get ticketed for that because during Semana Santa season, anything goes. So, the best thing to do if you're in or around any medium or large-sized Latin city during that week, check the local papers because they'll always print out a map of the routes for those parades, etc. And those maps would be for people who want to go to those parades and for us gringos who want to avoid them. In fact, do note that oftentimes gringos who live in those medium and large-sized cities and in those little Latin towns of 50,000 or under, the gringos who live there often plan their own getaways during that week because they just can't face the crowds and the craziness. Now, don't get me wrong. These Semana Santa or Easter week celebrations are not as crazy as Carnival in Brazil. But they do kick up the volume and it can be bothersome. Let's just say if you don't like loud, packed crowds till midnight or later, you might just want to get out of your local Latin Dodge during that week too. And when I say midnight or later, some of those big parades they have where they're hauling gigantic Jesus floats down the road and dousing everyone with clouds of incense, those can last till 2, even 3 in the morning, believe it or not. Now, these processions are quite beautiful, really, but like Expatity says, you see one guy on the cross, you see them all. And for some reason, the tradition during Easter week is to blow off a lot of aerial bombs and firecrackers, etc. So those won't be gunshots, you hear. Those will be bombs and mortars for Jesus. And when I say mortar, yes, I'm using it in the sense of the kind of mortars they use during war. Because that's what they call them down here. Mortero. That's mortar. So, if you have a bit of the pyro instinct yourself, you can just go down to the local fireworks tienda. That would be on practically every other corner. You could buy yourself some aerial bombs, rockets, or morteros, too. So isn't it funny, in Latin America, to own a gun, you have to go through a process where you get registered, and you have to get a lawyer to help you fill out the paperwork, and then there's a waiting period, just like in the States. Yet, even a 10-year-old kid could go down to the local fireworks tienda and buy himself a box of mortars. Gotta love it down here, huh? Funny enough, even in these big cities where thousands of these aerial bombs and mortars go off an hour, and you see 10-year-old kids blowing these things off all the time, yet you just don't see people running around with missing limbs or fingers, nor a preponderance of blind or deaf folks, as you would have predicted, or your mother would have predicted. Weren't all those consequences the dire things your mother warned you about when you played with firecrackers, darts, or even matches when you were a kid? Oh, I remember it well. No, Johnny, you can't play with those M80s. You'll lose a finger. Put your eye out. So, like a good, obedient little kid, I did as she said until she left, and then we went behind the garage and blew them off anyway. But even back then in Chicago when I was a kid, when things were much looser, those pyrotechnics we could get our hands on and did blow off was nothing. No comparison at all. Not 1% of what you see down here. Anyway, during Easter festival week, I met another Latin kid with an unbelievable name. Now, because Latins love everything and anything gringo, That said, Latin parents will often tag a newborn kid with an unbelievably tacky or ungainly gringo name, though they certainly must think it's cool or cute. The problem is there is no real-life gringo around to tell them they're making a lifelong big-time mistake. I've heard a lot of weird names down here in Latin America. And I also have to say that most of these crazy-ass gringo-ized names are given to innocent kids from lower middle class or middle class families. Seems like upper middle class and wealthy folks are more discriminating or astute when they name theirs. So anyway, I ran into a young kid, 14 years old, and after I heard his name, I told him he was going to get his 15 minutes of fame on my next show. Now, of course, he had no idea why I would even mention his name on my show, and he didn't even know I had a show, and he doesn't speak English. Obviously, if he spoke English, he would not be happy with his own name, but I certainly didn't want to be the one to appraise him of that sad fact. I was speaking to Javier Suck Up Hernandez. Suck Up. And it's spelled just like you might think. S-U-C-K-U-P. Yep, that kid should go far. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for that one. Especially if he hops over to the U.S. Wait till the Latinos in the hood get a load of that one. In a past show a couple years ago, I mentioned some Latin people I ran into with seriously embarrassing gringo names. Now, when you're down here and you meet someone like that, you be the judge. And you know, over the years when I run into a Latin who has one of those crazy-ass names, I always write it down. I've got a list here. For example, a few months ago I ran into a guy, his name was Londombris Castillo. That's how he pronounced it, Londombris. Now, when you spell out that word, guess what it says? London Bridge, Castillo. Okay, now picture this. Imagine if this guy did happen to visit London. Imagine it would be like a Monty Python skit. You know, somebody, some cop, some taxi driver on the street asks the guy his name and he says, London Bridge. I can see people everywhere just trying to give him directions to London Bridge. Of course, there's always those Marco Polos. There's a lot of them running around here in Latin America. I think I've met three or four of them already since I've been down here. Yep. The last one, Marco Polo Mendoza. And the fact is, with the last Marco Polo I met, I asked him, why that name? He said, why not? It's an honor to be named after a world-famous soccer player. And I said, no, you're named after a world-famous Italian explorer that made his way to China. And you know, it turned out we were both right. Only, his parents didn't know there was another Marco Polo, you know, the one that went to China. Turns out the soccer player, everybody knows, except us gringos. Then there was this other young Latin guy I met in Honduras. His name was Carlos Big Daddy Lora. And Big Daddy was spelled B-I-G-D-A-D-D-Y as one word. Big Daddy in English, of course. When I asked him who he was named after, and remember, all these guys I'm talking about don't speak English. They're pure middle and lower middle class Latins, way off the gringo tourist trail. Anyway, as it turns out, this kid's dad, no, he wasn't Big Daddy, but he'd slipped into the United States illegally before his kid, Carlos Big Daddy, was even born. And his daddy, once he landed in Houston, sent a photograph back to the family with him standing next to a big hot rod whose muffler extensions said in giant letters, Big Daddy. And the kid told me someday he's going up to the States to see his dad. He's never actually met him, but he's got the photo on the wall. Now, here's my favorite. The guy's name is Yuznavi Lambor. Now, at first, I thought, and every gringo thought, that that was an indigenous Mayan name, Yuznavi. Sounds like it might be. However, when you write out the letters, it's U-S-N-A-V-Y, United States Navy. Now, apparently, this kid's mother had either met or seen or had some kind of thing going with a guy who was in the U.S. Navy or had a t-shirt that said U.S. Navy or something. Who knows? And the kid, well, he ended up with that handle. And believe me, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of examples of weird and wacky gringoized names like that, kind of derived from either a mistake or an oddball interpretation of some kind of first world sign or saying or even gringo movie or TV program. So over the years I've met, let's see now, Magnum P.I. Palencia, a short little runt who worked construction, maybe 120 pounds, a Tom Selleck mini-me, he wasn't. And I've met a guy named Tom Cruise Cruise. Yeah, that's right. His last name really was Cruise, so they named him Tom Cruise Cruise. they kept the Latin spelling, C-R-U-Z, instead of C-R-I-U-S-E. Yep, never a dull moment here in Latin America. So, my advice, when you're down here and you run into a crazy-ass name like that, do inquire about it to find out how it came about, because there's always a great story attached. But one word of advice, never laugh at somebody with a name like that. Remember, when you're off the tourist trail, you just might be the first gringo that person's ever spoken with. And sure, you want his first impression of a gringo to be a good one, so don't let the name throw you, no matter how wacky or just totally unbelievable. Like the Latins you just might meet in South America named Adolf Hitler, or rather Adolfo Hitler. If you think I'm pulling your leg on that one, send me an email and I'll send you proof. Enough said about that. Okay, before I forget, I want to mention this little blip of a news story you might have caught. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. It said, quote, Mexico scrambles to find stolen radioactive material. Note that until now, it's not that these thieves are out to hijack that stuff particularly. It's just that they're out to hijack any car or truck or anything that's not nailed down. But now, in the last 2 years, it's been reported 4 more times in the news. And the thing is, trucks that carry radioactive waste or radioactive material for hospital cancer units, whatever, trucks carrying that stuff are no more well-protected than a Coca-Cola truck in Mexico. Normally, they got a guy up front with a shotgun riding shotgun. Makes sense, huh? And so do Coke and Kellogg's and Frito-Lay and bottled water companies, too. Their trucks have a guy with a shotgun riding shotgun, who, by the way, has probably never discharged that weapon in his life. The point is, theft and car and truck hijackings are so rampant in Mexico that some insurance companies are refusing to insure truck fleets. And now there's a new twist. Mexican drug cartels and gangs have realized that it's so easy to hijack a truck that's got nuclear material in it. By the way, they usually have the radiation sticker on the back, so they're advertising when they're driving along the road. Anyway, the cartels have learned this is a lucrative business by the mistakes other petty thieves have made. These last 3 nuclear hijack incidents came about because thieves were looking for scrap metal to sell. Though I still can't figure the logic that they could think they could walk into a scrap dealer and sell nuclear material. I don't get it. But you see, there's been enough reported and written about this down here in Latin America. You probably haven't seen any of that up north. It's all in Spanish. Anyway, big gangs like the Zetas in Mexico are taking notice. Authorities believe they are hatching plans to hijack many more of these trucks carrying radioactive goods. Not to use or sell the stuff, but to hold it hostage to an extortion racket. Because hospitals and insurance companies have very deep pockets. So, be on the lookout for more and more of these hijackings, this time not by mistake. And don't forget, Mexico has 2 nuclear power plants online with lots and lots of radioactive material and spent rods all over the place. So, be on the lookout for a new kind of extortion starting in Mexico. That said, let me ask you expat wannabes and gonna-bes up there, do you still think Mexico is a viable option for Plan B? Just chalk up nuclear extortion as reason 276, why you should not consider Mexico as a permanent expat destination. Though, I could be wrong. That said, let me read you a little bit from the English version of this news article. This is a report from Mexico City that says, authorities appealed for help among Mexico's population on Thursday to locate stolen radioactive material, the latest theft of such dangerous substances in the country. Mexico's Interior Ministry issued an alert in 5 southern and eastern states late Wednesday, 2 days after a toolbox-sized container carrying the iridium-192 source was snatched from a truck in a residential parking lot in Cardenas, Tabasco State. It says, Luis Felipe Puente, the National Civil Protection Coordinator, urged ordinary Mexican citizens to be on the lookout and notify the authorities right away if they find the material, which is used for industrial radiography to check welding seams. He goes on to say, each time that one of these units have been stolen or has disappeared from the hands of companies in charge of them, we have recovered them with the help of the population. He urged anyone who finds such objects, please stay away and quickly call the authorities. Then he said, thieves are not realizing what they're stealing, referring to 3 similar past cases. And here's the kicker. When asked why there is no requirement for private or government security to accompany such material, Romero said it's not considered dangerous as long as it's inside the container. Romero added that it would be too expensive for companies to provide private security for such commonly used material across the country. Now get this. Authorities said the man-made radioactive element can cause burns, radiation sickness, permanent injuries, and even death if someone comes in contact for minutes or hours. It is fatal if exposure is longer than that. As for past cases, in December 2013, thieves took a truck containing cancer-treating medical devices with highly radioactive cobalt-60 near Mexico City, Distrito Federal. The thieves took it apart and tried to sell it as scrap metal. They were exposed, as were countless others, but have survived up till now. And more recently, this February, authorities recovered in central Mexico three stolen trucks transporting highly radioactive material for industrial use. A similar incident took place in July 2014. Now, let me point out that both of these guys, government officials making these comments in the news, Luis Felipe Puente, the National Civil Protection Coordinator, and Christian Romero, the Deputy Director for Radiological Emergencies, have been all over Mexican television in the last few days, giving advice and warnings to the Mexican public. So let me ask you guys and gals this. If you were sitting up there in La Crosse, Wisconsin, or Cleveland, Ohio, and during every television news break, you saw some official guy from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission come on and warn you about some stolen radioactive material in your area, would you just ignore all that and switch back to the Kardashians, 3.5 brain cells, or The Walking Dead? Are you perhaps The Walking Dead, or would you be worried? Well, let me just remind you that in the past 2 years, there have been five such repeatedly televised government warnings about stolen radioactive material, which means maybe people are getting accustomed to that sort of thing. Well, just wait till the Zetas and the other gangs start getting in on the act. Just remember, there are 4,500 hospitals in Mexico, most having some kind of nuclear medicine department. Not to mention all big, heavy industrial plants that smelt steel or forge metal or precision parts have industrial X-ray units, some with very powerful radiation sources, 1,000 times more powerful than human X-ray units. So there you have it, folks. Yet another thing to worry about if you live or hang out in Mexico. So then the natural question that follows is, could this happen in the rest of Latin America? Well, anything's possible, but I doubt it. So far, there's never been a reported case like that outside of Mexico. Now, on the lighter side, note that no matter how long you're down here in Latin America, you find something crazy and odd happens every day. In other words, don't ever think no matter how long you're down here, you've seen it all, because believe me, you haven't. And I proved that to myself for the 100th time the other day when I happened to catch a 6 o'clock news broadcast, Latin TV, of course. And in a featured news story, there were a couple of unknown guys beating the hell out of each other in a boxing ring. And this boxing ring was right out in the central park of a medium-sized Latin American city. Now, let me tell you, this was Holy Saturday, you know, the day before Easter, too. And with all the solemn Easter stuff on TV, who'd have thunk that it had a bunch of guys beating the hell out of each other in a central park in broad daylight with thousands of people standing around watching? I'm thinking, isn't that a bit inappropriate for Easter? Then, oddly enough, the news reporter switched to another town in Latin America where the same thing was happening. In the Central Park, two guys beating the hell out of each other with a crowd of hundreds, even thousands, standing around and rooting. And by the time this little news report was over, they'd switched to 8 or 10 cities where the same thing was playing out. Two guys, no shirts, just pants, boxing gloves and shoes, beating the hell out of each other on Holy Saturday. And all the spectators having a good old time and getting into it. Well, meanwhile, I'm baffled. So I called my cleaning lady over and I said, what's going on there? Oh, that happens every Holy Saturday. It's called Penitencia Boxeo, which means boxing penance or boxing for repentance. It's a Catholic thing all the way. You see, in Latin America, if you're Catholic, and most are, as it turns out, if you've been a very bad boy all year round, and it's for guys now, you're a drunk, you're a womanizer, you're a thief, whatever. You can cleanse your sins once a year in front of the masses by signing up at your local neighborhood church to duke it out with an equal serial sinner that's been matched and pitted against you. So this thing, the Penitencia Boxeo, it's called, Boxeo meaning boxing, has been a big tradition in Latin America. In certain towns, usually medium and small towns out in the boonies, it's highly organized and very weird. So you got two shirtless guys out there beating themselves up for Jesus. And at the end, get this, usually both the guys are crying real tears. First, wailing on each other and then just plain wailing. Because, you know, they really believe they're doing it for a higher purpose. So there you have it, just when you thought you've seen everything. Man, that's entertainment, huh? Now, expat Eddie just loves fights. And when I told him about it, he said, Johnny, give me some time to think about it. There's got to be a way we can make some money off this. And I said, I don't know about that, Eddie. That could be sacrilege, and this is a very Christian society, so they might stone you or burn you at the stake. He said, nah, if we cut the church in for 10 or 15%, they'll give us a pass. They'll go for it. You know, an immaculate exemption. Leave it to Eddie, huh? When I laughed and said, Eddie, that's a good one. You just make that up. He said, no, the IRS did. All churches get an immaculate exemption. All right, that said, now let's talk about an email that comes from a previous Expat Wisdom Seminar attendee. Again, on the subject of healthcare. This time, platelet-rich plasma therapy. He says, and I'll paraphrase, hey, Johnny, platelet-rich plasma therapy, prolotherapy, and stem cell therapy are medical treatments on the rise. I paid over $900 for a combination prolo-PRP treatment and over $2,000 for stem cell therapy. This approach has kept me from finally breaking down and having my ankle fused due to unbearable pain. Because, as you might know, once carried out, there is no turning back from a bone fusion. Now, the average person doesn't have a traumatic injury and usually requires just a few treatments for severe arthritis, commonly in the knees and hips. Treatments such as these aren't covered by medical insurance. Expensive as the cost is, it pales in comparison to the far more common arthritis treatment, namely knee and hip replacements. Very expensive and invasive treatments that are an incredibly lucrative staple of the medical business. Now, local clinics constantly advertise them. Hospitals and surgeons will lose so much if the money train stops and the money they have now buys that influence and power. What I'd like to know is if plasma therapy, prolo, and stem cell therapy have made it down to Latin America yet, if there's a cost comparison, and if insurance covers it. Thanks, Johnny. Signed, Mr. P. Maybe that's for platelet. I don't know. Well, in a way, I'm glad he asked those questions because, yes, even at my Latin American seminars, now I show three different slides of medical centers, hospitals, and clinics that do just that kind of work. Now, let me translate something here from a company called CryoCell Stem Cell Banking. For one thing, they're not called stem cell treatments here. They're called células madre, or cells from the mother. Same thing, though. It says there are now laboratories all over Latin America, two labs in particular called BioHuman and one Unilab that have many branches throughout Latin America. These labs are authorized to prepare your stem cells. Then, once reinjected, the intent is to revitalize the damaged organs. And in an article I clipped out of a big Latin American newspaper about a year and a half ago now, it says, back then even, there were 44 laboratories in Central America doing that kind of thing. And it says, the procedure goes like this. You come down to Latin America, it's pretty much medical tourism then. The medical specialist extracts your mother cells or stem cells from your own corporeal lipid cells, a kind of a mini liposuction process, from the medulla ossea, which means from the bone marrow. This extraction and reinjection treatment could alleviate diverse pathologies like diabetes, lesions from the spine, damage to the muscles and heart, repairing heart disease and heart attacks. And it says, since they are your own stem cells, they completely alleviate the risk of having an adverse immune reaction or rejection. Okay, so they've got that stuff down here. What does it cost? I understand that multiple stem cell treatments are often necessary, and I spoke to a doctor who told me that one of his patients who went through the procedure spent about $4,000 from start to finish after having multiple sessions. And as far as insurance coverage, there are plenty of insurance companies down here that cover almost anything. I've personally read the fine print on a number of policies, and they don't exclude it, but they don't mention it either, so I guess you have to check with individual insurance companies. However, I've seen in some insurance policies, like up in the States, they don't cover experimental procedures and treatments, and I don't know if it's considered experimental or not. Possibly not. especially since they've got 44 labs in Latin America as of about a year and a half ago doing this kind of work. Like Mr. P says, you can get it up in the States if you got the dough. Now, looking up PRP, prolotherapy, and stem cell treatments, on the web there are articles saying that they're still considered experimental treatments. However, they also claim that stem cell treatments are used fairly regularly. So how could that be experimental? Who knows? So bottom line, yes, they have the treatments down here. Are they cheap? Well, every medical treatment down here seems to be around 1/4 to 1/6 of the cost of the same treatment of the first world. However, when a local doctor down here told me it was $4,000 for an entire set of treatments, I can't really say that it's 1/4 to 1/6 of the price like most other treatments, since Mr. P threw out the number $900 for combination prolo-PRP treatment and $2,000 for stem cell therapy. I guess you have to work out how many treatments are necessary for the patient to get a good handle on that. So that's the state of things down here. And yes, they have all the modern therapies here too. For anyone who's interested or needs that kind of treatment, you should come down and get your boots on the ground and investigate it yourself. And remember, all the doctors and specialists will speak English, and they're glad to talk to gringos. We're close to the end of the show today, so let me repeat. I've got my Expat Wisdom July 2015 seminar coming up shortly. It's about 2 months away, so if you're thinking of coming down to Central America, Guatemala specifically, especially if your Plan B goal is to get residency, you've got plenty of time to get those ducks in order, because like I said in a previous show, it'll take 2 weeks to a month to get your papers in order up there, and you can bring them on down to the seminar, stay an extra week or two, and get your temporary or permanent residency going. But whether you're on the path to get residency or not, remember, you really have to have a Plan B. Obviously, you wouldn't be listening to this show or others like it if you thought your thieving political scumbags up north were going to come to your rescue. By the way, did you know all the high-level government dickheads up in the States have an escape Plan B too? Yes, they have land down in Central and South America, huge tracts of it. Just check it out on the internet. So then, what do they know that you don't? Nothing. You know it's going to crash and burn up there, and they do too. So what are you going to do when the next crisis hits? Going to call 911? Going to lock yourself in the basement? Or are you going to pat yourself on the back and say, I got a Plan B. See ya. I'm heading to my place in Latin America. Look, you got to get boots on the ground, and the right kind of boots on the ground, not on the tourist trail. So just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link, and check out the info on the July 2015 seminar.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old style.